This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Protocol for Life Balance line of professional-grade supplements. One of the most important indicators of good health is your body composition, the proportion of fat and fat-free mass in your body. Having a healthy body composition promotes healthy blood pressure, heart health, and a healthy glucose metabolism. Our friends at Protocol for Life Balance have a trio of products designed to deliver effective body comp support with a variety of vital natural compounds that support appetite management, energy, healthy adrenal response, and more. Go to drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance for more information. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And we got lots to talk about this weekend, so stay with us this hour and next. And you can join in by calling 877-726-8255. That's a number for questions. And we got lots to talk about because there have been lots of health stories this week. And so let's catch up on some of them. If your doctor's not happy, it's not likely you'll be a happy patient. And there's some bad news from a new study from the American Journal of Medicine. And really stark statistics here. The headline is, Doctors Became Overworked Robots. Physician Burnout Jumps Dramatically in 3-Year Study. This summary was published in Study Finds. Physicians may be more stressed than ever, according to a recent survey that found that half were thinking about hanging up their stethoscopes for good. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying this does not apply to yours truly, because I really have enjoyed my medical career. And, yeah, there's sometimes, you know, there are hassles associated with being a doctor. There's paperwork to do. But to a large extent, I'm off the grid when it comes to much of this because I don't work for a hospital. I'm in private practice. I've structured this so I don't have electronic medical records. I'm not accountable to insurance companies. If you come to see me, well, fine. And if you want to file for insurance, it's likely that you'll get some insurance. But I don't key my practice to whatever procedures or types of visits will garner the most insurance reimbursement. And that's the predicament for a lot of doctors. New research, they say here, continues to demonstrate the demise of doctors, with burnout levels jumping dramatically over just a 3-year span. From 2011 to 2014, physician burnout increased from, it was already pretty high in 2011, 45.5% to 54.4%. That means the majority of doctors are burnt out. And it's not about their home lives, according to this study. It's their jobs. Three key factors are accounting for physician burnout, according to the research. First of all, the traditional doctor-patient relationship has been eclipsed by the relationship between health insurance providers and patients. In other words, you know, who are you working for? Are you working for the patient, or are you working for the health insurance company or Medicare? Companies are standing in the way of fast and appropriate treatments ordered by physicians. So it's almost like, you know, doctors these days, if you want to do something, say you're proposing surgery, you're proposing an operation or a course of therapy, you got to sing for your meal. Or even a blood test, even certain tests. Maybe you want a test. It's a rather esoteric test. It's going to cost $200. The patient doesn't want to pay for it, of course. And so you have to write an exhaustive treatise to the insurance company, who's likely to refuse it, in order to get the test that you need to make the diagnosis. The second factor, doctors are feeling more cynical as a whole because patients don't expect continuity of care anymore, and they routinely change doctors. And also, you know, it's not even about doctors, it's ask your healthcare provider, because many hospitals and many practices are using physician surrogates, you know, very fine people, nurses, nurse practitioners, physician assistants. But if you go to a group practice or a clinic, you're not likely to see the same doctor every time. And finally, general lack of enthusiasm for work accounts for some of this burnout. Doctors are inundated with numerous extraneous burdens that collectively rob them of the joy of medicine. Yeah, we went to medical school to, you know, treat patients, to serve mankind, but ultimately we find ourselves stuck behind computers. The five transformational practice events in medicine that occurred between 2011 and 2014 that contributed to the spike in physician burnout, here they are. Rising drug prices. So it becomes, you know, increasingly impractical to prescribe a course of treatment for a patient. It's very frustrating. Purchases of medical groups. A lot of the folks that I meet at my medical school reunions, they started out in private practice. They got bought out by hospitals. Now they're employees instead of independent practitioners. The Affordable Care Act has been, you know, it's helped some people, but it's also put a lot of constraints on doctors. Something called pay for performance, in which providers are offered financial incentives to improve quality and efficiency. That means that, in effect, they're being paid to save money for the insurance company, to limit care to patients and to restrict patients' access to tests and treatments that may ultimately help them, but, you know, they're deemed expensive or unnecessary. And also, finally, and this is a big one, mandated electronic health records. Go to any hospital and look for the nurses and doctors, and invariably you're going to see them sitting in front of computers, not sitting or standing at the bedside of patients. They're not happy, and their patients aren't healthier as a result, unfortunately. So that's a big problem. Study published in the American Journal of Medicine, and, you know, if your doctor's not happy, it's not likely you'll be a happy patient. Here's something that is likely to make you happy, because olive oil is something that I really like, and we continually are talking here on Intelligent Medicine about the benefits of olive oil, not just the monounsaturated fat. It's not about that. It's about the beneficial polyphenols that are found in fresh extra virgin olive oil. And now, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club, as a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil. We just interviewed the olive oil hunter, T.J. Robinson. Great podcast. Listen to it at drhoffman.com. And, you know, I've been enjoying these Harvest Fresh olive oils for years. They're far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils that I've ever tasted. And you can be sure, because of their freshness, their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. So taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer. And get your $39 bottle for just a buck, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, that is a truism. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com for that special offer of a generous trial bottle for just a buck. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number, and we'll be right back with more of Intelligent Medicine.
Love the blooming flowers and trees, but challenged by the pollen? Help ease seasonal issues like sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes by supporting a healthy immune response right at the source, your digestive tract. Your immune system and digestive tract are completely integrated systems in your body. If your immune system views pollen as a dangerous invader, it can incite all those unpleasant sensitivities. Over 70% of your immune cells reside in your gut, and they all depend on a healthy probiotic population to stay in balance and function at their peak. Dr. Fred Pescatore, a New York City physician and best-selling author on allergies, names Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal sensitivities. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, backed by over 35 years of research, is the help your immune system needs. Try it for yourself and enjoy the outdoors again. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available online and at natural health retailers nationwide.
Dance floor is open. Come on, everyone. Let's shake it.
You're young at heart. Let's keep it that way. Stay feeling young with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, designed specifically to help support and strengthen your cardiovascular system as you age. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract was founded on scientific research and has been the subject of more than 800 research studies over the last 45 years, revealing its significant cardiovascular benefits. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract cardiovascular, blood pressure health, cholesterol, and circulation formulas are just a handful of the many Kyolic supplements that can help reduce the major risk factors of heart disease and promote overall heart health. Organically grown, Kyolic Garlic is aged up to 20 months, has no pungent odor, and is gentle on the stomach. Make a resolution today to stay young at heart and keep your cardiovascular system strong for years to come. Get Kyolic today, available at fine natural health retailers nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. 877-726-8255 is our number. And there are other ways to get through to us. If you want to email your question, you can email it to radioprogram, one word, at AOL.com. Radioprogram at AOL.com gets you an opportunity to have your question answered by yours truly, along with our capable nutritionist in residence, Layla, when we do our weekly Q&A with Layla. And another way you can get questions to us is to go to our website at drhoffman.com. And on your PC or Mac, on the homepage, you'll be prompted to record a question, as did Laura. Let's hear from Laura.
How effective is ozone for patients suffering from ovarian cancer? Thank you.
Okay, that's fascinating because we just recently did a podcast on the subject of ozone. I don't too often do podcasts on that somewhat esoteric subject. Ozone is a colorless gas that smells kind of fresh. It's a beechy smell, or sometimes a smell that you get around electrical equipment. And it's used to purify pools because it's a marvelous antibacterial, it's a fungicide, it has antiviral effects. Way back in the 20th century, way back when, actually in the early 20th century, it was proposed that it could be a treatment for various infective conditions, even for cancer. It was used as a way to cleanse and cauterize wounds at first. And then they developed ways of mixing ozone with blood and then returning the blood into the body so that the ozone circulates around the body. And this is something that's been popular in Europe, in particular Germany. They've really pioneered the use of ozone therapy. It's used fairly frequently over there for, general vitality. Some people use it for sports enhancement. It is also used as an antiviral for conditions like hepatitis or mononucleosis, even HIV. And it also has the effect of zapping cancer cells. But, I've looked at it. I've actually dabbled with ozone therapy. I was doing it in the 1980s and the early 1990s. And I found it, I just didn't feel like the research was keeping up as it should to demonstrate that it was worth doing, especially when it's really frowned upon in many states. It's legal, but it's a little bit in that legal limbo where doctors who do ozone therapy could be, shall we say, targeted for doing unconventional therapies. So I didn't really think it was worth the battle to keep doing it. But recently talked to a practitioner who really feels that it's helpful. So you can listen to that podcast at drhoffman.com. As far as cancer, It may be a good adjunctive therapy for cancer. It's certainly not a standalone therapy for cancer. That, along with things like hyperbaric oxygen, may support the effectiveness of either conventional cancer treatments or other alternative cancer treatments. But I don't think it's something that magically makes cancer dissipate. And ovarian cancer is particularly challenging. It's one of the toughest cancers to treat, even with chemotherapy, immunotherapy, radiation. When it's spread, it's pretty tenacious, keeps coming back. But, you know, ozone may be a useful adjunctive therapy may help to increase the likelihood of survival for a patient with ovarian cancer. So there you have it. I mean, I'm not saying it's not good. It's just among, you know, you got to pick and choose when you're an integrative doctor. You can't use everything. And this is not something that I'm currently using. There are people who specialize in it, and they're the people who you may want to consult if you're interested in doing it. Do it with an experienced doctor who really knows what they're doing. Research comes to us from Germany, from Cuba. Interesting. They're doing a lot of ozone research down there. All right. This item has to do with something called Ubiome. Ubiome does stool testing. And some of you may go, oh, yeah, Ubiome. I submitted a stool sample there. I had that done. And I've occasionally recommended that people use Ubiome for stool testing. They have a way of testing that analyzes the diversity of bacteria in your intestinal tract. Diversity is a good thing in culture as well as in your colon. And so the more diversity you have, the better off you are, more likely you are to be healthy. Ubiome is using pioneering high-throughput technology to analyze poop. But it turns out that their business model is kind of poop, because the FBI just raided Ubiome's office for billing practices. Now, it's interesting to me. I had the founder of Ubiome on my program a few years back. Her name is Jessica Richmond, and my impression of her was that she was a very aggressive young millennial person, you know, nothing unusual about that, who talked a good game. And it was interesting. You know, but what they found out is that Ubiome had been doing all kinds of unethical billing. They had been double and triple and quadruple billing insurance companies to the tune of thousands of dollars for tests that patients and doctors hadn't even authorized. So, you know, this has shades of Theranos. You know, Elizabeth Holmes, the charismatic young gal who started up Theranos, that black box Edison that was going to revolutionize blood testing. Well, this basically is all built around a kingdom of poop. And unfortunately, it's turning to poop as revelations are coming down the pike about the unethical and illegal billing practices of Ubiome for their smart gut testing. You go to a party, you talk to millennials, and millennials are always using words like startup, VC, venture capital, private equity, bootstrapping, disruptive technology, IP for intellectual property, ROI for return on investment, term sheets and launches. And, sometimes there's some shady manipulation going on, and it isn't all that it seems. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. More to come. Stay with us. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. If you're on a weight loss regimen, studies show that as fat cells shrink, they release stored toxins that can actually slow your metabolism and cause your weight to plateau. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol. It's a collection of carefully curated supplements to mobilize toxin elimination. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. For more information and to purchase. For a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. One of the most important indicators of good health is your body composition, the proportion of fat and fat-free mass in your body. Having a healthy body composition promotes healthy blood pressure, heart health, and a healthy glucose metabolism. Our friends at Protocol for Life Balance have a trio of products designed to deliver effective body comp support with a variety of vital natural compounds that support appetite management, energy, healthy adrenal response, and more. Go to drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance for more information. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. We're going to talk to you about some stories and some innovations in the field of intelligent medicine. And we'll start with this one. Regrettably, the consumption of caffeinated energy drinks is rising in the United States. You know, sodas, old-fashioned sodas, are becoming a little less popular. You know, among a certain segment of the population, they don't care. They don't know about the health hazards associated with drinking all that sugar. And so the soft drink industry, in its wisdom, in its business acumen, is diversifying its portfolio. They're selling you diet sodas and flavored waters. And a big growth segment for the manufacturers of beverages is energy drinks. This is a thing. You know, I look back to when I was a kid, and there weren't energy drinks. There was Pepsi and Coke, of course, and Dr. Pepper. I guess Dr. Pepper had the connotation of being an energy drink because it was really high in caffeine. But now they're energy drinks that are spiked with caffeine. And it turns out that consumption of caffeinated energy drinks is rising in the United States. According to a new study appearing in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine, energy drink consumption in the United States has increased substantially over the past decade, especially among adolescents, young adults, and middle-aged adults. I guess the middle-aged adults, the overworked folks who have to stay awake amidst kids and responsibilities and jobs on the assembly line and long-distance trucking. Energy drink consumers had significantly higher total caffeine intake compared with non-consumers. And the problem is there's a lot of caffeine. There's also a lot of sugar. Added sugar in many of the energy drinks will certainly increase the risk for obesity, type 2 diabetes, and rotten teeth. And there's a new thing that the kids are doing. They're mixing the energy drinks with alcohol because it's, you know, after a hard week, when you go out Thursday night, and, you know, Thursdays are the new Friday, and you got to stay awake, you mix the vodka with the energy drink, and then you get a little hammered, but you stay awake. And it makes you think you're less inebriated. You still are, and you shouldn't drive or do anything that requires coordination. But you feel maybe a little more focused. So they found that the prevalence of energy drink consumption on a typical day increased significantly for adolescents, which was 2% young adults on this any given day, 2% young adults, 6% middle-aged adults, was 2% per capita consumption of energy drinks increased. And the net result is Americans are more caffeinated and probably ultimately more fatigued. But let me share with you a way to alleviate fatigue more naturally. You won't get a caffeine kick from this, but you will have more energy, most assuredly. And that's with NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics. Now, it works on the mitochondria, which is a more of a fundamental way to boost energy. Mitochondria are the little energy powerhouses of the cells. NT Factor repairs damaged mitochondria. And clinical trials have shown that it really works. It reduces fatigue by almost half. And you can get it in the form of ProPax with NT Factor. That's a one-stop shop for all your vitamin and mineral needs. But if you have your favorite multi and or fish oil and you just want the NT Factor alone, my suggestion is they take a product called Healthy Aging. It's the perfect accompaniment to whatever supplement regimen you're already taking, providing the unique energy support a pure NT factor in a potent delivery system. Now, I've been taking NT factor for years. I don't go a day without it. I'm pretty energetic. And with a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. Find ProPacks or Healthy Aging at your favorite health food store, or you can order direct by calling 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. And speaking of spiking your energy drink with alcohol, controversy over whether pregnant women should drink any alcohol at all. And yeah, my mother confessed to me that during pregnancy, she drank a little bit. She would have an occasional beer because it was thought to be okay in 1952 to drink a little, not a lot. I mean, I don't have fetal alcohol syndrome, I don't think. And but imagine how smart I'd be if she hadn't had any, because according to researchers, there is no safe amount of alcohol during pregnancy. Brain connectivity issues are found in children who've experienced prenatal alcohol exposure. Whoa. So are they talking about a little or a lot? Does this apply to, you know, occasional glass of wine or a beer here and there? They say that subjects who were exposed to alcohol in the womb were more likely to have issues with connections through their corpus callosum. That's the band of brain tissue that connects the left and right halves of the brain. Maybe that is why I have a heck of a time line dancing. I just can't seem to coordinate my left foot with my right foot. Maybe it was Mom, you should have. Yeah. Well, I wish you'd known about this. Anyway, they say that women who are pregnant should just say no when it comes to any kind of alcohol consumption. And here's a story that's good news for women who are leery about getting their annual pap smear. You know, not being a woman, I can imagine how unpleasant it is to have to go for an annual exam where a virtual stranger puts you up in stirrups on a table, yeah, under a sheet, okay, there's proper draping, and then examines you with hopefully a warmed-up speculum and takes a little, you know, sample, a little scraping of your cervix. And I can see why a lot of women are just reluctant to go. And maybe it's also a matter of insurance. They can't afford a doctor's visit, whatever. Good news when it comes to cervical cancer detection. This is really cool because it kind of parallels what's happening with colon cancer detection. They now have colon cancer testing that's based non-invasively on a stool card. You just take a little bit of poop and put it on a card and then put it in a mailer, send it in. And it's pretty effective at picking up colon cancer even without a colonoscopy in some certain circumstances where you absolutely need a colonoscopy. But for routine screening, that might do. Now, urine testing may be as effective as the pap smear at preventing cervical cancer. The research team says that a urine test could help increase the number of women who are screened for cervical cancer. There are now 3,000 women every year who get it in the United Kingdom alone. So this is good news. And you know, I don't know if this is yet commercially available, but it was very good at picking up not cervical cancer per se, but testing for HPV, which is an antecedent in many cases to cervical cancer. So good news on the women's health front if this test really pans out. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's that time of year again when everyone suffers from some kind of upper respiratory problem. We miss work and feel miserable spending too much time with doctors and pharmacists. That is, unless we protect ourselves and our families with a product that I recommend to my patients, Clear Saline Nasal Spray and Sinus Rinse. Clear combines unique properties of xylitol and the health-promoting benefits of a saline nasal spray to help cleanse, moisturize, and soothe your sinuses and nasal passages. Clear helps wash away bacteria, pollens, and other irritants before they have a chance to attack the sensitive tissues in your upper respiratory tract.
Clear is easy to use, effective, and safe for people of all ages. Clear is simply your best defense in an increasingly dirty and polluted world. I use it myself. You can find Clear saline nasal spray and sinus wash at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, CVS, Rite Aid, and other drugstore supermarkets and pharmacies near you, as well as Amazon. Or you can visit Clear on the web at clear.com. That's www.xlear.com. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. And this item, a lot of people suffer from declining hearing and vision as they age. Something a little bit more unusual is the loss of your sense of smell. And there are various interpretations of this. On the one hand, it may be due to some kind of injury to your olfactory nerve. The olfactory nerve, of course, is something that can be affected by a virus or even by harsh medication that you snort up your nose, or certainly, you know, snorting cocaine or drugs. This can actually kill your sense of smell. But it's also been said that the risk for Alzheimer's disease is increased in people who have declining sense of smell. Not always, because, and that's the problem, is that if you have declining sense of smell and it's because you've had chronic sinusitis or perhaps you've been a smoker, it doesn't necessarily mean, it doesn't portend that you're going to get Alzheimer's disease or dementia. But statistically, according to the latest study, poor sense of smell is associated with a nearly 50% higher risk of death within the next 10 years. And some of those causes of death include dementia and Parkinson's disease. But around 70% of the cases of earlier death are unexplained. It just kind of an early warning for declining health that goes beyond just neurodegenerative diseases. Researchers from Michigan State University studied more than 2,000 adults, 71 to 82, to determine the relationship between poor sense of smell and mortality. And what they found is that your loss of smell, poor olfaction, was associated with a 46% higher risk of dying at year 10, a 30% higher risk of dying at year 13 compared to good sense of smell. So I guess you can, you know, many ways are coming to an end, but if you've got a great sense of smell and you're 70 or 80 or beyond, chances are you may evade the Grim Reaper. All right, let's take one of those recorded calls. We got a call from my namesake, Ron. Hey, how you doing, Ron?
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I just recently got back blood work. Showing the breakdown of the immune system as far as white blood cells, lymphocytes, monocytes, and the things you mentioned on this previous show. And also, I was able to receive these CD counts on a few items. The only thing is the blood test does not decipher it for me. I had to do some research on that. And it's still worth researching again. I have to set this in my mind. And just wondering if you could do a show to kind of explain what a patient's blood test results would show compared to what it would mean as far as natural killer cells, which sound very exciting. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, yeah, this is really kind of tickles me because this, we really have ushered in the era of DTC medicine, direct-to-consumer medicine. You know, forget the doctor, just look it up on the internet or listen to a podcast and order your own blood test and then interpret them. And I got to say, I mean, look, this is not self-serving, but reading blood tests is really an art. And, you know, what I kind of deplore is a blood test, when patients receive blood tests and they put in a little L beside something, which means it's low, or they put an H beside something and they means it's high. And then they have at the bottom of the page a summary of abnormal results. And it just drives people nuts because they don't know how to properly contextualize these results. And, you know, after many years of experience, I realize that some abnormal results are really not that abnormal, and some abnormal results are highly significant, and it depends on the context. It depends on what's going on with the patient. So, for example, you know, someone may have a very low blood count, but then I realize from the history that that person has a Mediterranean background, and maybe they have something called a thalassemia trait, so it's normal that they have a low count. Or maybe, and this is a real common thing, they've got a low white blood cell count, but they're from Southeast Asia, or they're of African-American heritage. And maybe that slightly low white blood cell count is just normal for that population. So you have to put it in the proper context. Now, you gave me a great idea. Which is to do a series of shows, because, man, it'd be great if I could do like one show, like how to read your blood tests from A to Z, you know, every single type of blood test that you can find in the Quest Laboratories catalog, which is the size of the New York City phone book, practically. There are no phone books. Hey, oh, I forgot about that. No more white pages. There's just so many tests. There's just almost an infinite variety of tests. But, well, you know, we'll start with the most simple ones. There's the CBC. That's your blood count. And then there's the chemistries, the routine chemistries. And then there are more specific tests. You know, there are endocrine tests for your thyroid and your adrenals. And looking at, you know, pituitary function. And then, of course, there's the art of studying urine and all the different things you can see with urine. And then the lipids, and, you know, we can go hog wild on lipids and cardiovascular prevention with a variety of tests, beyond just cholesterol and HDL. It's almost like, you know, those Russian eggs. Or Chinese, you know, the eggs that just keep opening inside are more and more and more eggs, you know, tinier and tinier eggs. You can slice and dice blood tests almost infinitely. In particular, the CBC, because you start with, okay, what's your white blood cell count? What's your red blood cell count? But within the white blood cell count, it's a little universe. There's different types of white blood cells. There are neutrophils and lymphocytes and several other types, basophils and eosinophils. And then you can actually break down the lymphocytes into T lymphocytes and B lymphocytes. And then you could subfractionate those into natural killer cells and helper and suppressor cells. And that's where, you know, you may need some help with the interpretation because, you know, what's normal for you? Is there a problem? Can you further optimize? You know, that's, I think, part of, unfortunately, the art of reading blood tests. I mean, if we're all that simple, I just, you know, just give up my job and, you know, do something more productive than, you know, just being a doctor when everybody else can do it. Hey, thank you, Ron. You've inspired me because we could do several shows on the subject of how to read blood tests. Okay, this item is fascinating because, you know, I think it was the poet who wrote Walt Whitman, "I Sing the Body Electric." And a new medical device has been approved to treat ADHD, and it's a kind of a TENS device. It's a trigeminal nerve stimulation system. It's a device that uses mild electrical nerve stimulation that goes into a child's brain that has a positive effect on behavior. So the FDA has actually approved something called the Monarch External Trigeminal Nerve Stimulation System. This is not some weird, you know, gadget that you can buy, you know, on Amazon and, you know, you pays your money and you takes your chances. There really is something to this. No serious adverse events were attributed to using the device. And there were modest but real behavioral improvements associated with the device. So it's, you know, for those of you who are interested in the device, it is manufactured by Monarch. It's an external trigeminal nerve stimulation system. And it's not something you just buy and stick it on your kid's head. It's something that will be dispensed by physicians and may help to revolutionize our treatment of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder without the drugs and their potential side effects. Looking forward to seeing more research, more testing, and some post-marketing results on the 5 to 10% of American kids who have ADHD with this device. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our number, 877-726-8255 for questions. We'll be right back with more of Intelligent Medicine.